Bush administration seems to be working overtime to rush through some environmental policy changes before it leaves office in January. Among the changes are a relaxation of the regulations protecting endangered species. With me now for the first of today's underreported segments is John Kasiak, Executive Director of Wildlife Conservation and Global Warming at the National Wildlife Federation. Welcome to our show.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
This past summer, it was announced that the White House planned to roll back protections for America's wildlife by rewriting the regulations of the Endangered Species Act. What are those proposed changes?
Well, for the past 35 years, we have had a process known as agency consultation, where any time a federal agency proposes a project or a major program, it gets reviewed by independent biologists working with wildlife agencies, either the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service or the National Marine Fisheries Service. And their job is they would look at the impacts of the project on our wildlife and if there is going to be a serious threat to propose revisions. And so that's worked pretty well. And over the years, we've had a lot of we've had hundreds of species that have been rescued from the threat of extinction thanks to this process. And the Bush administration is essentially proposing to wipe it all away to allow the agency project proponents, those who want to push through a major logging project or a major new subdivision or whatever else the federal government might be involved with, and let the proponents decide for themselves whether or not there's going to be a serious harm to the species.
Well, we're talking about last-minute changes, but wasn't the Bush administration exposing its hand by announcing this in, I guess it was August?
Yeah. August is when the proposed rule came out, and now we're getting down to the last few weeks of the administration, and the question is whether they want to allow a major policy change like this to get through or whether we let the new administration have its say over it. Actually, it shouldn't even be something that administration should be deciding. This is the type of thing that usually Congress would decide, a major turnaround and a turnabout in a national environmental policies, something that Congress has been debating for years, Endangered Species Act. There was a whole bunch of people who proposed this very thing, industry lobbyists in Capitol Hill for over the past 5 or 10 years, and now suddenly it's emerging here. So, yeah, it's first surfaced in August, and the real issue is in the, whether the last few weeks here, whether it's going to be finalized and whether the new administration will essentially have its hands tied with and be stuck with this new policy.
Well, they've gotten a lot of input from people. Have we seen any changes from the initial proposals?
Well, it's funny you ask, because just today we got a leaked copy of what appears to be the final rule, and it got worse. Despite over 250,000 comments in opposition to these changes, saying that the Endangered Species Act is working fine, it's our nation's safety net for wildlife, don't mess with it, they've taken and made it even more clear the amount of damage they would like to do, making it clear, for example, that global warming impacts were not going to be dealt with using the Endangered Species Act.
Well, that's something that's, I guess they borrowed from someone like you, because you were making the opposite case, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, as part of my new job, I've been working on endangered species policy for about 15 years, but here at the National Wildlife Federation, we're becoming more than aware that global warming is the leading threat now to the future of so many wildlife species and to the ecosystems that both wildlife and people rely upon. And so we're developing a whole bunch of new strategies to update our environmental laws, so that we can grapple with the impacts of global warming, recognizing that, you know, the disappearance of snowpack and the warming of streams and sea level rise and the, you know, the dying off of millions of acres of forests in the West due to pests and fires that are linked to global warming. All those things are, you know, massive changes happening across the landscape that our Endangered Species Act and other conservation laws are going to be out there having to function
so what's
in that context.
So what's the next step? The Bush administration suggests these changes. Does anyone have to approve them?
No. Any day now, we're expecting this week them to come out with their final rules that will show up in the official publications. Then they usually 30 to 60 days later, they become effective.
And there's a 30 to 60 day window here, isn't there? Because if they wait too long, then they won't become effective until the next administration takes over.
That's right. So if the effective date arrives after January 20th, we'll be asking the Obama administration to issue an executive order that, you know, in one sentence could essentially nullify this whole exercise. And that would be the easiest and cleanest way for us to make this all go away. Just be a bad nightmare, bad memory.
But it's likely to be put through by this Friday, which gives them plenty of a window of opportunity. And it is difficult for a new administration to reverse these kinds of policy changes, isn't it? Wasn't the Bush administration stuck reluctantly with carrying out some of Bill Clinton's last-minute changes?
That's right. If the rulemaking becomes effective, then it's usually at least a year-long process for updating regulations and essentially wiping away the work of the predecessor. And that's why it's so remarkable that this administration was able to start this in August and finalize it in the space of 4 months. It meant they had to take like an average of 10 or 20 seconds per comment in reviewing what the public had to say before they went to final. It would be difficult, and to us, that's the least desired outcome, is having to wait for sort of a year-long regulatory process from the Obama administration. I mean, first of all, they had to get their leadership in place. Then they would have to start this process, and maybe they'd have their own opinions about what kind of updates they want for the Endangered Species Act.
And then they have other major problems that they have to deal with, like the economy.
Exactly. And so the other option for us at the beginning of the next Congress, there is a law called the Congressional Review Act, and actually was passed by the Republicans in the 90s to try to undo Clinton-era regulations that essentially enables Congress to overturn regulations with a simple majority. The usual filibuster rule does not apply. And so it wouldn't need to get 60 votes in the Senate. All we need would be 50 or 51. And so that's our next option. If this thing does get to become effective and we can't stop it with an executive order, we're getting some pretty positive signals from the congressional leadership that they'd be willing to help us squash this that way.
A spokesperson for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi recently said that the House is looking into ways to overturn this and other midnight regulations. So they would vote to change it, and since the Democrats have a majority, it's likely it would pass. The same thing in the Senate?
It looks
so
promising.
So is this really something that should be a cause for concern then?
Well, it is a cause for concern. I mean, we are dealing with an economic financial crisis, as you well know. Many of us are working full-time on trying to develop ideas for how to stimulate our economy through, you know, jobs that rebuild a green economy, the one that helps cut global warming emissions. And that is the big priority of the new Congress. It will inevitably be, and we'll be supporting that 100%. Getting other issues dealt with will become a challenge because it's more than a full-time job to deal with the economic challenge in front of us. And so, the ideal outcome is we don't have to go to Congress. If we do, we're just going to need to help them understand it's not a heavy lift. It doesn't require, a careful set of hearings. This is obviously a sleazy last-minute attack on our environmental laws that is not based upon any substance other than, some narrow industry wishes to make their regulatory process less burdensome on those industries.
Well, should we be suspicious of any of these midnight regulations from any administration? Because obviously they are waiting to the last minute to get them through because they realize there'd be a lot of opposition if they approach it in the normal way.
I think that's right. Unless some new circumstances pop up that justify a last-minute rulemaking, we all ought to be in favor of transparent rulemaking that enables the public to have a full opportunity to weigh in.
My guest is John Kostiak, who is Executive Director of Wildlife Conservation and Global Warming at the National Wildlife Federation. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Aren't there problems with the way the endangered species laws are now enforced anyway?
Well, the Endangered Species Act is actually a very successful law, and as a general proposition, we want it to continue as it's been operating because it has that safety net feature where you at least look before you leap into damaging projects. What's missing from the law is the financial resources and other positive incentives that would enable us to reach out to private landowners and others who want to do something positive on the land but lack the resources or the technical information and enabling them to do that. And that is a fundamental challenge because so many ecosystems have already been severely degraded and damaged, and so the big project for bringing endangered species back, getting them to the point where they're viable over the long term is a project of restoration, requires affirmative actions. And the Endangered Species Act, like most of our other environmental laws, is largely a prohibitive law. It stops bad things from happening, and it's extremely important in the role it plays there. Essentially, let's not make things worse. But we need to invest in wildlife conservation and ecosystem restoration. And the Endangered Species Act doesn't have that funding mechanism that enables us to do that. And that's a crucial missing link. We're working in the climate change arena to essentially get the necessary investments in restoration that are going to be crucial to help wildlife and ecosystems survive global warming. We're hoping that's going to provide the funding mechanism.
How does our endangered species policy compare to others around the world? Is ours better, or does the EU have better standards? Does Japan?
We have probably the most progressive endangered species law in the globe. It's a law we really should be proud of, and it has served as a model for other countries that have adopted endangered species policies. You know, some of the places with the richest wildlife, such as in Africa, have relied upon sort of a parks model, where you essentially, you know, draw lines on a map and say, here's where we're going to protect wildlife. And what's great about how our country has handled the issue is that we recognize that protecting wildlife and biological diversity is something that's a priority for every community and all across our country. And so we have strategies in virtually every region that have been successful that don't pretend that these bright lines on a map have any meaning at all to animals and plants. I mean, they're constantly shifting. We recognize that the ecology is a very dynamic thing, and the law has tools that will enable us to respond.
A listener wants to know whether the White House has to provide a rationale for making the changes.
Yeah, they do have a rationale with their rulemaking, and it's highly misleading. They are claiming that it's not really changing anything, that they're just trying to make things more efficient and streamlining. You can look at any independent analysis, and it puts a lie to that right away. Congressional Research Service, which is a really well-respected research arm of the Congress, did a study and pointed out that this would really be a fundamental change in how the law works. And the administration is essentially just denying that without really making any kind of convincing case.
Well, many of the people who oppose the Endangered Species Act, as it's now enforced, object because of its negative impact on humans and human development. Is that why relatively few species have been declared endangered over the past 8 years?
The Bush administration has been by far the most hostile administration to the Endangered Species Act, and has, as a rule, refused to add new species to the list and refused to protect species because of sort of the harsh attacks we've seen from the right, claiming that it's interfering with private property rights and business.
So most of the species have been put onto the list because of lawsuits.
Right. And so we're fortunate we have a citizen enforcement tool under the law that enables citizens to step in when the government fails to act. It's not the ideal, but it's better than what the alternative would have been. But the bottom line is it all depends on what kind of private economy you want. Do you want one where developers can pave over the last remaining habitats and species and drive it to extinction, or not? And when you frame it that way, it is possible for us to coexist with all the other species that were put on the planet with us, and we have an obligation to bring those species along and pass them on to our children and grandchildren. Broad consensus in this country in supporting the Endangered Species Act. Every time we've done polling, it's been up there in the 90% level for either maintaining or strengthening the law.
On a legal level, isn't one of the problems that many endangered species are found on private land, and if a landowner is found to have an endangered species on the property, that they have to make adjustments?
No, I mean, they do have to make some adjustments in the sense that they can't go actively out there and destroying the last of an animal's habitat. But it doesn't mean that their economic activity comes to a halt. The law has permitting provisions. It enables you to carry out your planned economic activities. It essentially just provides a mechanism to develop workarounds. And so we have hundreds of success stories where private landowners have been able to coexist with endangered species and continue with their economic activity. It's not an either-or choice. And so a lot of these horror stories have been exaggerated for people who are just hostile to the very premise of the law, that somebody might have to adjust their activities. And they've overstated the case by suggesting that somehow it's brought the economy to its knees. And the law has been implemented for 35 years, and the economy chugged along quite nicely while it was implemented. And as a result, we have many, many species that would have gone extinct but for the law that are here today with us.
Well, it's not the only of the environmental policy changes that are being proposed at the last minute. Your work focuses on wildlife, and we've been talking about that, but what about some of the other things that have been proposed and that other conservationists are concerned about?
Well, there have been a lot of recent developments that have us very concerned. The administration, for example, has lifted moratoriums on oil and gas drilling offshore right. and for oil shale development across the West. At a time where the scientists are giving us the most frightening information about global warming accelerating worse than had been predicted by the international experts just a year ago, for us to dig ourselves even deeper into that hole by expanding drilling across the coast and by going into a whole new set of fossil fuels in across the Rocky Mountain West that are even more damaging from the global warming front has us extremely concerned. And so we'll be working with a new Congress and new administration to try to reverse some of those policies and get a real climate change solution.
How you've said that the Endangered Species Act has been a success. Have we saved a lot of species? What happens, I'm going to ask a follow-up question as well. What happens if a species is saved? Does it then have to fend for itself, or do we keep on trying to protect it even after it's been revived?
Well, the vast majority of species that we have saved from extinction, and we truly have saved hundreds. I mean, we have about 1,400 or so listed in this country, and only a tiny handful in the entire history of the law went extinct after listing, and usually those that were ones that were essentially goners by the time they got to the list. So we have a lot of success stories. Florida panthers, one; the whooping cranes, another; many, many others. American alligator had almost been hunting to extinction. People forget that now. There's just so many across the Southeast. So we have many success stories. The real question is, what do we do as we get the numbers back? The Endangered Species Act essentially, and most of them have not gotten to their numbers to the point where it's safe to pull the endangered species safety net away. And so although they've been rescued from extinction, they're not fully recovered and they remain on the list. A handful have gotten to the point where the government has been able to conclude that the species is recovered and the Endangered Species Act mechanisms are no longer needed. That's a challenging hurdle to meet in today's world because of all the continuing disruptions of ecosystems that are going on. The law essentially says you have to have some adequate substitute safety mechanism in place. And so, for example, there was a plant right near the Appalachian Trail in New Hampshire that was taken off the list because the people who are maintaining that habitat up there had a long-term commitment to protecting that plant. And we've got the gray wolf off of the list in the upper Midwest because of the commitment of the states to keep that species around. So there are examples of being able to do that handoff, but I don't want to kid you. It's a very difficult one, especially considering the limits of funding that's available to the states to do wildlife conservation these days.
You mentioned earlier that 250,000 comments came in to address these proposals, and most of them were against them. Is it frustrating to be in an organization that takes a position that is completely ignored by the people who have the final say?
Well, my experience is that we always end up coming out okay. This is actually one of a long series of threats to the Endangered Species Act that I and my organization and our partners and other conservation groups have had to fend off. And there were many times where people said, well, it's time for you to cut a deal. You've essentially lost. Time to go away. And we stuck it out. And in the end, we ended up with the same strong law that we had in the past. And we've actually gotten some improvements. Just in the past Congress, we got some tax incentives for people, farmers who want to help species on their land. And so over the years, we've managed to make progress despite enormous political obstacles. And so I'm optimistic we'll get through this next one okay. We haven't figured out the exact route, the escape route yet, but we've pulled it off in the past. We're going to pull it off again.
John Kostiak is Executive Director of Wildlife Conservation and Global Warming at the National Wildlife Federation. Thank you so much for talking with us today on our underreported segment.
Thank you for having me on the show. I enjoyed it.